Podcast Your Scene Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
Yeah, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
It's the flight and the fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So care about
by your speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
It's Bill, and you're tuned to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, and 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri. With me tonight, we're going to bring a little bit of Ohio your way. We have Q-Ball from X Factor 1 and my sometimes co-host, John, the American Hill Jack Lane from the the Hellfire Club and the American Hilljack Files. And so before we get into talking about X Factor One and Night Wolf concert promotions, I do want to bring up a question, and I kind of prepped you guys a little bit. On Facebook right now, there's articles going around saying that the Pittsburgh scene is dead, and you guys being outsiders to come into the Pittsburgh scene, I wanted to get your take on that.
Well, I always have a great time when I come to the Pittsburgh area. There's a lot of love. There's a lot of good camaraderie. I mean, you know, maybe I'm just, you know, hitting it at a good spot. So you know, when you don't live somewhere, it's kind of hard to really make a judgment call in that situation. But you guys at After the Fall, Scale, and Fist Fight in the Parking Lot, and, you know, a lot of the other great bands over there, you know, if they're representing the you know, if they are representing the scene, I think you guys got a good thing going there. I've been through there at the Alder Bar and stuff on tour with some, you know, national bands I've came through there with. And, you know, to tell you the truth, it was a lot like, you know, Columbus. It has that blue collar, you know, work ethic, you know, kind of humble feel. But, you know, overall, I'd say it's one of my more favorite spots, you know, out of the places I've been. I've been all over the United States a few times. And, but, you know, it's kind of what you make of it. You know, if somebody's looking to, you know, try to take a rip on it because things ain't going well for them, then they're going to find reason to be unhappy, I'd say, you know. So, but overall, you know, we love it over there. And that's why, even though we're only doing just a few shows a year because we're really laying back in the cut, you know, from touring and stuff like that, we are always going to find time to go to Pittsburgh area because there's a lot of good people over there.
Before I give John a chance to answer, did I see you guys are recording a video tomorrow?
Well, we're actually doing the last of the video. We decided we've done videos, you know, we like to take, you know, a big piece out of everything in life. We've done a video about an anti-suicide thing. We've done some, you know, some love song videos. We've done, you know, a little bit of everything. So this one right here was completely about the debauchery of, you know, the decadence in the rock scene. And so we decided to do one for our song Peace, Love, and Alcohol. And last Sunday, we had a bunch of friends over, just kind of threw a last-minute party and had the video guy that we know come over. And my friend has a huge light system that, you know, he came over and brung. And we just had a big old party on my deck, and we decided to go ahead and film the and see just how it turned out after, because we had rehearsal last Sunday. And, you know, shit, 80 people that showed up for the video. So we had a hell of a party. And now, you know, we decided, well, you know, let's go ahead and do some scripted stuff so you can drop it in there and kind of, you know, spice up the video rather than just be complete performance-based video. We decided to start doing some B-roll stuff, and that's what we're doing this weekend with our show. With We Got Motor Grader for Halloween.
Yes.
So with them guys, and gonna, you know, get some sex scenes in the hotel room filmed and things like that, and you know, PG. And, right. And hopefully we'll drop this thing. But we're trying to drop this thing by Thanksgiving weekend.
That's a quick turnaround.
Yeah. Well, that's a big hope, because we like to make sure they're amazing before we drop them. There's a lot of man hours in editing, so that is an optimistic drop point. But we're gonna see. You know, we'll see.
Is that your vet that I'm assuming is gonna play a role?
Yeah, that's my road eater. I call it the road eater.
It's nice.
75 Stingray, kind of pretty much redone completely. And I haven't had it out of the garage for 12 years because of, you know, chasing, you know, this music goal I had with my band. You know, there's not a whole lot of time for, you know, because when you pull a Corvette out of the garage after a couple of years, you know, there's a lot of things to do. They're temperamental. I mean, obviously they're amazing. It's a great ride and I love it and stuff, but it's not something you just, you know, go out and put the key in and turn, you know, go take it out on the road. It needs a lot of TLC after it's been in the garage for a while. So I kept putting it off. And I looked at the plates, you know, when I finally decided to get it out this year and found out that I haven't tagged it since 2005. So I haven't had it out on the road.
Wow.
Roger.
John, I'm going to give you a chance to answer the question about the scene, and then we'll start talking X Factor 1 and Night Wolf.
Well, I come from a little bit of a different aspect because I started out in the Pittsburgh scene for so many years. And I've seen it was flourishing. It went down. But I give guys like Skell, After the Fall, Fist Fight in the Parking Lot, all the ones he named as people that, you know, stood there and fought for it. And now it, in the last, you know, 6-7 years, it has really become to flourish again. And I the article that you're discussing that someone put up, I don't know who this guy is, but it really, it kind of offended me because I know so many of the people and some of the people that he's complaining about, because I'm sorry, yeah, Mr. Small's Funhouse, all these places are turning around and starting to make things happen, even though we've lost a few venues by far no means over there in the Berg area recently.
Two this week.
Yeah, two this week. But there's ones that are still fighting it out and making it happen. And there's bands that are making it happen and people like you that are making it happen. And that's what agitates me. It's mostly guys that don't want to get involved and work alongside people. They feel they need to, you know, they want their ego stroked instead of learning that, you know, this is a business. You know, we don't have to like each other. We don't have to be the best of friends, but we got to do what's best for the business. And we can all get along and work well together. And, you know, as we were talking off air with you, Paul, Steve and Matt, I've known them for 25 years. We've been up and down the road through several different bands that they were in. I was in everything. We've seen the good. We've seen the bad. We've seen everything. Mikey Pallone, I've known forever. And, you know, from Skell and Ekus. And I look up to those guys and measure every band I've ever done, you know, with on the basis of Whiskey High and Skell. And I have nothing but respect for those guys and know how hard they work and how good they are at what they do on bringing a scene together and treating people the way they, you know, like a business, but also, you know, being, you know, cooperative. You can't tell me you can't, you go to do a show at Gigaroo or, you know, Rock for Life or Rocktoberfest or anything with After the Fall, and you are treated, you know, and with respect, and you're helped, and, you know, and things run smoothly. There's not an ego fest. There's, you know, and the same thing with Skell, the same thing with Fistfight in the Parking Lot. I can name several bands over there. And Q-Ball mentioned Columbus, and Columbus is great. American Dog, Michael Hannon, those guys, that's where, who I first got brought into the Columbus scene. A band I was in, Alice Farad, went down to open up for them at Mary Melodies. And after that, we played with them several times. And I've stayed friends with them over the years, and there's many, many good places around Columbus. And it has that same type of feel, Q-Ball's right, where it's a lot of, you know, working together and a lot of, you know, community, you know, trying to make things happen. Now, of course, in every aspect, there's ones that aren't that great. And, you know, there's people that fight against it. You know, but I hate when people say that a scene is dead when it's not. And, you know, I'd love to invite you out to Akron for, you know, a few weeks to try to play and, you know, and see how it is with people. And, I, you know, and I shoot that all the time on my own podcast, The American Hilljack Files, and the APRRadio.com. Plug number one. He rolls with right off the bat. And so, you know, I'm not trying to – I want what – people have really fought against me since I've come out here to Akron because I've tried to emulate what was in Pittsburgh and what is in Pittsburgh now, or the AK music scene. So anybody that says that the Pittsburgh scene is dead, they need to be strung up and, you know, hit like a pinata.
That was, I don't even know how I can segue from that. Do you have any songs that would go with the pinata?
Music.
Oh, we could play Big House Pete.
Oh, yeah.
Chicano.
Just a Chicano. There you go.
All right, anyway.
And so, that's another guy, Paul Peterson. I grew up with him, you know, leading the way, teaching me how to do things. And look how cool it is, and I think it's so great that Gene is, you know, is playing with them. You know, and I hope they stay together because Paul is just a great guy. You know, from Big House Pete, Paul Peterson.
Yeah, big.
Just drop it.
Big House Pete has a different lineup almost every time I see him, and it's
I know.
Every time it's great.
But you got the main guy, you got the man, you got Paul, and that's all that matters.
Q-Ball, tell me a little bit about X Factor One. When did you guys start? Where'd your name come from?
Well, the name came from you know, wanting to be, you know, if you think about an X Factor, you think about it's an intangible, it's a you know, something that you can't predict, and we wanted to be, you know, the name was you know, supposed to be derivative of being the number one intangible in whatever situation or, you know, position that you were in life. That's what the name actually came from. And we formed in 2006. It was a while before we really got off the, got things rolling and stuff, but, and we've had a hell of a lot of lineup changes, as you know, both of you guys know. But, you know, sometimes things don't work out. That doesn't mean that, you know, that your enemy is necessarily, you know, the minute that you move on to, you know, working with somebody else. It just means that sometimes it's just, you know, someone's not the right fit. There is guys that are cancer and so on and so forth. But, you know, we're pretty good with where we're at right now because it's a, you know, because we are, you know, in a low maintenance kind of situation where, you know, we're just doing, you know, maybe 6 to 10 shows a year. I mean, we took a couple years off there for a while after 2014, just, you know, just needed a break. You know, you do 200 shows a year and work as hard as we did, you know, with, in our, you know, the way we were a DIY band, you know, we kind of just got burnt out. And, you know, so when we decided to get, you know, going back again, you know, I just wanted to make sure that every show we booked that we were, you know, having fun with people like the guys from After Fall over at Rock for Life. If I can't do quality gigs, then it just isn't worth it for me anymore. So, you know, we're laying back in a cut. We're having a good time. There's a lot of laughs. I'm spending more time with my family. And, you know, I'm pretty, you know, pretty happy with the way things are right now.
I have to tell you that the first time I saw you was at Rock for Life. I can't remember the year, but it was Alicia Ruby. It was her year. And I was watching you up on stage. And, you know, you guys just, you know, you were awesome. And then the first thing you did was you came off the stage and you sought out Alicia and handed her your laminate and signed it. And you sat there and you talked to her for, I don't know, 20 minutes. And I was like, okay, not only are they a great band, but they're great people. And that's when I started following you. So I just wanted to let you know how impressed I was.
Appreciate that. Tonight. Well, you know, I'm a father. I have 3 sons. And, you know, I mean, it's a heartbreaking situation for these kids. I mean, you know, it's kind of hard really to even know what to say. So, you know, I just really try to avoid the, you know, to talk about the illness at all, you know, when I talk to the kids, because, you know, I've talked to some other people besides Alicia, and it's great to see her back every year too, by the way, you know. But, you know, as a follow yourself,
she's become a firecracker.
She's become
a firecracker. Oh, she made you've seen me, you've heard me talk before we went on air, and she makes me nervous at times. That's all I gotta say. Go ahead.
I was her teacher, and like she'll say something, and she'll turn. She go, "I'm sorry, Mr. Damiano."
I'm really proud of her for doing well, and you know, I seen that she was, you know, it was a final one of the final people, and something about a science fair or something. You know, that makes me proud of her, and I'm happy. I'm happy for her, and she's a good student, and she's, you know, living life to the fullest, and it's good to see her every year when we come out, and you know, she's turned into just a beautiful young woman, and you know, it's just that kind of stuff is the reason why, you know, I'm in the music business in the first place. I was never in it for the money or the fame. I just wanted to share my artistry and build relationships to last a lifetime. And so when you get someone like that who appreciates it, and you're thinking, you know, hey, they don't realize how much courage you're taking, you know, from them, you know, and their, you know, take on life and their stance and their strength, you know, you get that satisfaction that really kind of makes, you know, really life worth living in a lot of ways, you know. So we love going over there, and, you know, I wish, you know, everyone that we, you know, ever did a benefit for over there would, you know, go on to have awesome lives. But sometimes it don't work out that way. So, you know, you just do what you can while you're there to show someone you care. And that's why I always try to seek out whoever the recipient is for whatever, you know, gig we're playing over there, whether it be Gigaroo or Rock for Life. We've done them both. You know, I want to make sure that they understand that, you know, I'm pulling for them, and I'm sending, you know, the positive vibes, you know.
That's awesome, dude. But yeah, being pro, positive, real, and original, you know, it's always a good thing.
I think that counts as number 2, John.
Does it? Does that count? That's plug number 2? But in all seriousness, Q-Ball, you mentioned that, you know, from touring so much that you feel you need to lay back. I can relate to that. Do you feel that, you know, just from one guy to another, you feel after pushing so hard, it's, you know, you need that time to, you know, really put your mind back together? Because people, I'm not trying to put anybody else down, but a lot of people don't realize what it's really like in a touring situation when you're doing it yourself.
You know, Hunter Thompson said it best, you know, in his description.
This is great. Me and you've got to sit down and talk. Now you're referencing.
You know, he said it best, and you know, it's a very, you know, the music business is very shallow, very fake, very phony, very superficial business that you know, unfortunately, is perpetuated by the very same people that buy and support the bands that are that way. And you know, I don't want to sound like a guy who's gonna, you know, bite the hand that feeds me kind of thing, but you know, the hypocrisy of the music business was something that, you know, to tell you the truth, when we, you know, jumped out of the music business for a few years there, it was, you know, I just really literally couldn't couldn't take it anymore. You know, you got to tell someone who, you know, I got a fan who would, you know, say at the show that they, you know, hey, they loved me, my down to earth nature, and so on and so forth. And then, you know, somebody from insert big headliner here would walk by, and they would leave, drop what they were saying to me, and chase after him with drool in her mouth. You know, like somehow because this guy's more famous that he's, you know, to be considered more relevant or whatever. And you know, that kind of artificial, you know, feelings or that, you know, that this hero worship is what I call it. You know, it's right. Just something that, you know, I never wanted myself, and I never understood. A man is a man, a woman is a woman. You should be judged by your deeds and your actions, not how famous, not how rich, you know, not, you know, how beautiful you are. But that's not the world we live in, and there's nowhere that's more obvious than an entertainment industry, the music business, you know. So it's a tough life. It really is.
Oh, yeah. And for me, you know, like you, I have kids of my own. You know, I have five of my own and one stepdaughter. So, like, I look at different situations, and it's like, man, is this what the world, you know, really, you know, and I fear for them. You know, because my son plays in a band called Three Vultures, and I don't ever tell him what to do, but I tell him, hey, this is what happened with me, this is what I think, but you make your own decision. And I'm very honest with him, you know, how it really is. And I'd hate to see, and the one thing I keep saying for him is, like, don't lose the joy of it, because that's what I did, you know. Well, and like,
I think it's impossible to lose the joy of it, John, if you're really actually heavily pursuing, you know, being relevant in the music business, unless you are one of those few bands that really hit the lottery kind of thing, because, you know, it's so much work and there's so much, you know, ass kissing, and there's this, you know, so much, you know, phony.
They want you to be something. Yeah, they want you to be something you're not. I've told the story a million times. It'll be real quick. But when I was working with Kelly Rhodes, Randy Rhodes' brother, and Kelly Garney, we actually sat down, and they wanted to put me in hip hugger jeans and these dolly things, you know. And it's like, you know, dude, I'm over 200 pounds. You know, there's no reason for it. Yeah. And that, you know, it, by far no means, now that I look at it on a business, how the business works, yeah, that's probably what I needed to do. And now I could probably pull it off a little more now that I've, you know, actually lost weight and take care of myself. But at the time, you know, we love this about you, but here's seven things that we want to change about you. And and now we're going to bring a woman in with you to sing with you. And then and the women that they brought in, the two of them were worthless. They were just, you know, they were just eye candy. And I caused a lot of snake. I threw a huge fit, and, you know, and, but anyways, but yeah, that's, it's things like that it's appalling. And when you're sitting down and you're doing these tours where, you know, you're just supposed to be just as important as every other band on there, but, you know, because like you said, DIY, you know, band, that, you know, a lot of times you got to fight and scratch to even just, you know, get your trailer close enough to unload your stuff, you know. And
yeah, it's a perception based business. And, you know, I don't mean to alienate anybody, but, you know, I firmly believe that 90% of the world is a sheep. You know, and
oh yeah,
and as a guy who's always been a wolf, you know, I can't see how people buy into propaganda. I can't see how they buy into, you know, hero worship. I can't see how they buy into, you know, looking up to somebody, you know, again, because they're famous, rich, or beautiful. I've just never understood that. You know, I never understood that. So I've always been, when someone would buy a CD, or when someone would, you know, tell me that the band was great that night, you know, I was, you know, and my band was, or they didn't last very long. The members wouldn't last very long. We would always stay humble and say, you know, thank you and this and that. But it almost seemed like, you know, it was the guys who acted standoffish and exclusive and, you know, too good to talk to you is that made them want you more. And I just never could. I never could.
I can't do that. You know? I'm like you. I can't do that. I'm a guy that wants to. Yeah, I want to interact with you. You spent your money to come see me, you know, yeah. And to me, it's like, I appreciate that, because, you know, no matter how much money it is, you know, or like if it's for a cancer benefit, you're taking your time to come out and, you know, do all that, you know. So, you know, everybody's important, and without the crowds, there's nothing. And so,
that's what I've always said. One of the first things that I ever say, I always say it every night when we step on, you know, we step on stage. Is, you know, I tell everyone, you know, we're X Factor One, and you're the VIP of the show tonight. Without you, it wouldn't go down. So, I make sure everyone knows that we're very humble and very grateful they came because they had a choice. There's a lot more choices in the world than there was, you know, when I first started in the music business, and you know, it's getting harder and harder to, you know, to get people out to shows. I don't think it's dead, but. You know, let's face it, for guys like me that's 40 plus, you know, I remember the ass end of the great 80s thing where it
was, oh, yeah,
you know,
same here.
Rock yeah. music was responsible for 59% of all, you know, music sales and stuff. So, you know, I've certainly seen the change. I've certainly seen the difference. And it's getting to the point where, you know, even touring bands, they have to form big packages just to make sure they get those big crowds because there's not a whole lot of bands that aren't Pink Floyd or, you know, or the like that can really draw those big crowds anymore. So, it's changed, and I'm grateful for when people who show my band support, I'm grateful. But at the same time, you know, I can't help but think, you know, how much I would be a spam meat compared to the steak that walks by if a Rob Zombie walked over.
Oh yeah,
it's the reality, you know.
So I have Reboot the System queued here. I have the whole thing sitting in front of me. Which song would you like me to play off of it, Q-Ball?
Well, I mean, you know, as far as popularity goes, you know, there are certain things that are on there. But how about the song we're doing a video for, play Peace, Love, and Alcohol?
Okay, there you go. It's a good tune.
Yeah, it's a good song. Good upbeat song, and it's easy to follow, and it's easy to throw your fist in the air during the chorus. You know, it's got a nice, catchy chorus on it.
It's got hooks musically, vocally, and lyrically. So all you people sit right back and kick off to some X Factor One. Peace, Love, and Alcohol, Mother Truckers.
got no. Do you wanna take a ride in my Blazer Mang? I only have $2 and some pocket change. Your big fat lips and your little tiny tits. I know you're not worth it, but I'll take the trip. Cause you're a chick I know. Cause you're a chick I know. Cause you're a chick I know. Cause you're a chick I know, Mang. Santiago, a chick I know. There goes a chick I know. There goes a chick I know. There goes a chick I know, man. Chick I know.
Hey, it's Bill. We're back on the Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me is John, the American Hilljack Lane, and Q-Ball from X Factor 1. We talked a little bit about X Factor 1 and the local scene in Pittsburgh not being dead, despite popular belief. History of X Factor 1, where the name came from, and some touring stuff that I just sat back and listened to. I'm going to take the driver's seat this time. John will do a little less talking.
I got my gag on.
I don't believe that, but I'm going to say it.
Okay. but at least you're honest.
So, Q-Ball, recently you and I'm assuming a partner started Night Wolf Concert Promotions. Am I right?
I'm a solo business venture. So just me.
See, I was making the assumption because I thought maybe Knight was someone else's last name.
No, it's. It's like instead of a night wolf, it's a knight in shining armor. Yes. So I wanted to give it a feeling of integrity, loyalty, strength, honor, that kind of feel, you know.
Well, the crest definitely puts that off with the shield and the wolf above it. It's pretty cool. I like it.
That's what I'm looking for.
So
it's very well marketed. I think.
Thank you. You look around for a logo. I looked at a lot of different things. I end up having a few different guys, say, hey, this is kind of what I'm looking for. The things I just described, and that shield was the one I liked the most, so I went with it. A logo should definitely represent a business if you're going to start one, or you're trying to perpetuate what you are supposed to, what's important to you, and everyone knows that knights were loyal and honorable, so and fierce warriors too. So that's kind of what I was trying to portray.
It definitely portrays that. It definitely puts off that feel, just to look at it.
So tell us a little bit about that venture. I see lots of promotions going on, but how did that come about?
Well, when we were taking our break, and I was wondering if I was even going to get involved in the music business at all. I mean, I really was, pretty fed up. I was pretty, disenfranchised with the whole situation, so when I, decided that, I really, I missed the stage. I missed, the people that we've met over the years while touring, what we call X Nation, which is, friends and family. I don't call them family. I don't call them fans. I like to mix it and call them families, and when you miss that family, you start to get a little itch to hit the stage again. I wanted to make sure that when we did gigs, particularly, in the Central Ohio area, that, there were going to be high quality gigs with, at least 500 plus there, just to make it worth, getting your ass fired up to do a rehearsal. Because when you're a big band like ours, there was, 90% originals, we do a couple of covers. We record a couple of covers. When you're original band, you just don't, say, hey, let's go do a gig and just go do it after you haven't played for a year or 2 years or whatever. So there's a momentum of rehearsals that have to happen, picking set lists, you know, getting comfortable playing together again, you know, getting your machine oiled up. And so, you know, I knew all that was going to have to happen. I just wanted to make sure that if we were going to do gigs, that they were going to be high quality gigs with a good attendance. I wanted to make sure that, you know, there were going to be ones that we could at least get paid, you know, for the time and energy behind the situation. And I wanted to make sure that everybody on the bill was going to get, you know, respect and the kind of treatment that you want when you're doing shows. So when I, you know, the easiest way I could see to do that was to use my experience and the things I've learned after 20 plus years in the music business, was to start, you know, doing my own promotions. And, you know, so far so good. You know, I haven't booked any huge acts, but, you know, I had Saliva, I had Jackal, Saving Abel, Autograph. I had some bands that were relevant enough to you know, pull some pretty good weight, and every show was a success. You know, I attribute that to, you know, my tireless promotions, but also, you know, the bands themselves and the people, you know, they still had some fans and were relevant. And, you know, so far so good. Every gig that I've done, I felt like, you know, was a winner. And, you know, I put myself as an opener on a lot of those and prime spots, for, you know, to just, again, make sure that when we did the shows, that they worked out well for us to where the guys would say, hey, man, these are the kind of gigs I want to do. So, you know, when you have control and you have enough respect for the other people in the bill, you know, you don't make people set up in front of you and the drum riser and all the stage rooms wasted because the headliner, I'm that guy, would only tell the headliner, you're striking the drums, you're backing your gear up, we're not going to take these local bands who sold a shitload of tickets to be on the bill, we're not going to disrespect them, we're not going to, you know, put them in a situation where they can't really shine. And it's caused me some grief with some of the headliners because they're so used to, you know, having their asses kissed, and they're so used to everyone bowing down to who they are and what they're about. And it's like, buddy, I've charted on Billboard. I've had 5 radio singles myself. I've been on tour with a lot of great bands. You know, so you're barking up the wrong tree if you think that, you know, I'm that guy, you know,
exactly.
My knees fucked up. So, you know, and because of that, you know, I've earned respect of a lot of guys on the scene, and they know that they've been treated well. They're paid. You know, most of my gigs are ticket selling gigs because I believe that everyone should pitch in to make the gig a success. But I leave more room on the ticket sales for bands to actually get a piece of the percentage of the tickets than anybody else that I've ever seen that's a promoter in this area. To where all, you know, and I give bands meal tickets. I give bands, you know, free booze. And, you know, there's a lot of bands around on the scene that are very anxious to work with me because they hear from other bands like, hey, man, I've never had anybody, you know, treat us like you treated us on the bill. I'm like, well, I want to treat you like I've always wanted treated. And it's working out well for me.
See,
you know,
exactly.
I'm looking to, looking to do some bigger and better things in 2018. But we'll see. It's a tough nut to crack. And the big bands, you know, they cost some high five figures to bring in bands like Chevelle and Stone Sour. They get a pretty penny for the performance. So we'll see. And, you know, and, so far, so good.
And you have to sit down and sort the colors of the M&Ms, right?
I haven't had to do that
yet.
But to tell you the truth, some of these riders, when I see them, you know what I do with them? I get these huge riders with these guys, and, you know, this guy wants some kind of herbal tea that's rare, and this guy wants some kind of muscle milk I've never heard of. I just put a big X to it and say, no. This is what I'll get you. I'll get you the half gallon of the Crown. I'll get you the beer you wanted. I'll get you a meat and a veggie tray, and I'll do your food buyout because I'm not one of those kind of guys where you know I'm into the high maintenance stuff to where, you know, to me you're already getting paid enough to where I don't think that I should have to go jump through as many hoops as what I have to jump through, especially, like, again, you know, some of these bands. They should be grateful that somebody's willing to give them a few thousand bucks to play because they haven't really been relevant in a while sometimes. And that's no crack on them. But, you know, I like to keep it real 24/7. And that's, people either love me for that or either hate me for that. But, you know, I'll tell anybody that, you know, the best way to do stuff is to be fair with all involved. And you know, it's a funny story that one of the last shows I'd done was with one of the bigger artists that I had actually booked. And, you know, we were up here on stage arguing about their gear taking up all the room, and he said, well, we can't move it. I said, no, you can move it. You won't move it. No, we can't move it. said, "Oh, you can move it, but you won't move it." And I walked away. And again, the guys, you know, told my roadie, my sister. He's like, "Man, that guy's a real hard ass, man." He's like, "No, he just keeps it real, man. You know, the bottom line on this thing is, if you want it to be good for everybody, including these bands that sold tickets for the quote unquote right to play with you, you know, you got to make sure that someone's standing up for them, or else, you know, a lot of these headliners, they're so far gone with, you know, the way they are. It's kind of hard to deal with them because, you know, I'm thinking, hey, you should be lucky that I'm even booking you. And they're thinking, hey, you should be lucky I let you book me." it's a crazy world.
But I think what guys like you and, you know, who have actually gone through it should be the guys that are doing the promoter, you know, actual, if they're going to do it, is there's a lot too many promoters nowadays throughout the every scene that thinks just because they have a book face page, a phone, and a website that, you know, and they've seen, you know, Rockstar three times.
I have
those
things.
that they can book a show, and, you know, and the way they treat the locals, like, you're doing it the right way. And I think that's commendable.
I think I am. You know, I have seen a hell of a lot of promoters popping up over the last few years. And
yeah.
I always get a chuckle. I get a chuckle to myself when I see such and such productions and such promotions. And I think to myself, you know, you got a boyfriend in a cover band that, you know, was never really, you know, super
anybody
relevant or anything like that.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you think you're a promoter, you know, because you got a camera. You think you're a professional photographer. You got
a camera and you got, you know, the cheapest editing program that, you know, you got for free offline, you know, and but you're a pro. And, you know, and then these promoters that talk to me, you know, I like you, I've been around, and I'm like you, I'll keep it real. I'll tell them, like, they want a promoter out here wanted us to open for Drowning Pool. And I said, "So basically you want me to sell 50 tickets and we're going to get nothing?" "Well, no, you're going to get to play with you're going to get exposure." "Well, hey, I'm in my 40s. I've been exposed and people know me around the area. I don't need exposure." You know,
There's a running joke around here about exposure. You know, the guy, the cartoon says, "Hey, you want to play for the such and such, like you said?" And it's like, "What for?" "Well, for exposure." And the guy says, you know, he goes to the grocery store and he has a little slip that says exposure on it. He wants to buy food with it.
Exactly.
You can't buy food with exposure. You can't pay your cell phone bill with exposure. And that's one of the reasons why, again, I leave about, on a ticket price, I leave about 25% for most of the bands. And you know, that means,
oh, wow, if you hustle, really good.
Yeah, if you hustle, you'll make a couple, $250, and you know, and you'll get treated right. You know, I tell my sound and light guys, because I bring in a production myself, I say, everybody gets the same, because the band should have a chance to shine on the stage based on who they are and the merits of their band, not because the headliner says, well, you know, no lights for anybody, and, you know, no volume and all this stuff, and then they get up there and, you know, they eat all the stage, they take all the lights, they take all the sound, and, you know, that's why people will think that they're better, when really, basically, it's because they did everything they could to hold everybody else on the bill down until they went on to make themselves look good. That's just not going to fly with me. And, you know, I'm pretty sure some of these bands probably won't want to book with me again, but the crowds, they couldn't deny, you know.
Q-Ball, in my opinion, guys like you that are doing it this way, if we could get, you know, keep going in the direction, get other people to do this, we could change it to back the way it should have been, way it should be, because that's the way to, you know, for me, you know, like you know, I've seen the end and, you know, of the big days and everything, and see it go through so many changes. And right now it's like, I see what's going on, and it's saddening to me for the younger bands. And that's why I started trying to do what I've been trying to do with my thing in the last few years. And it's because I, like you said, I want to treat people the way I wanted to be treated, and I don't want them to get, you know, get too disenfranchised with it before they're going to get out there, right, if they get a chance, and it's going to happen to them anyways, you know. But I'm not going to be that guy.
I've always felt like the music business, particularly the rock scene music business, I always thought it was a business that ate its own tail, you know. And what I mean by that is that, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, bands used to try to put other bands on. They used to, you know, introduce them to agents. They used to try to get them on tours. You don't ever see that shit anymore. You know, everyone's trying to cut everyone else's throat. Everyone else is trying to hold everyone else down. Everyone else is trying to be more relevant than the next person. And what happened was that it caused a very big
collapse.
What's that?
The society as a whole right now.
Yeah, and you're correct.
Yeah, but you know, rock used to be responsible for a large part of music sales, and it's really declined quite a bit. And I really believe that one of the reasons why the rock scene went down is because I just don't think that the other bands were trying to do what they could to help the other bands help other bands do well enough to be able to get out on their own. You just don't see that kind of camaraderie in the music business anymore on a large scale. You just don't.
And no.
I think that because of that, everyone ended up suffering out of it. And like you were saying, John, I wanted to try to set a different precedent. And I don't know if the bands that I make do things that they don't normally have to do on the show before or show after, meaning share the drum riser or move their the stuff off to the side where they're not eating the whole stage. I don't know if it's going to take hold where they're going to do that in a subliminal or their psyche is going to be affected. But for this one, I want them to know that it takes you 2 minutes to do something or 5 minutes to do something, and everybody's happy on a show. The big band, here's what I tell the big bands every time they complain about the things that I want: you're leaving with the money. Let my local bands leave with their dignity. That's what I tell them. And if they don't understand that,
but you get it. And that's my whole thing. It's like I don't feel it's right for a local band to work so hard, because like you said, Jackal's one of my favorite bands of all the world. Now, we could go on to a whole another story of how the Outpost screwed.
I know where this is going,
but I won't go into it because Bill wants me to not talk long. But
that worked, right?
but it is a reality that they are not of the norm of what's going on. So the local bands have to push. So they should at least leave, with a little bit in their pocket, some dignity, because they're from that town. They're the ones that are going to have to be there the next day, if they can walk out and feel like, they played Madison Square Garden, great.
When bands play my shows and they get that crowd behind them photo when someone takes something from the drum riser, or I see them backstage, swilling down the free booze and, the finger food I put down there, and I just see that expression in their face of, this is what it's like to tour. When I tell people, the bands, when they ask me about being on shows, and I actually shoot the pitch to them what it's going to take to be on the bill once I book a show and I'm looking for openers, this is what I'm giving you. This is what, I already know it's more, than what anybody else on the scene is going to give you as far as a promoter. I want you to feel what it felt like for me and for, some of these touring bands all the time to be on tour, where you get catered to, you get catering, you get booze, you get a sound check, you get all these things that are kind of a pain in my ass to some degree. But, when these people think, Night Wolf Concert Promotions, I want them to think, well, hey, this is that gig that I want to be on, because, if I work hard, I'll do my end to sell tickets, because I really believe, a lot of people hate the ticket selling thing. A lot of bands say, oh man, that ain't my job. Well, guess what? It's everyone's job to make sure a show's a success. And if you don't feel that way, then you're not a good partner. If you're not a good partner, then I don't want you on my freaking show. It's that simple. What am I supposed to do? Do all the work so you can step up here and get that glory when you don't really have any fan base, without working for it? When you aren't,
we got to get him on the Hill Jack Files. We got to get him on the Hill Jack Files.
You're not going to do your end to get the show off the ground and make sure it's a success for everybody, then the last thing in the world I'm going to do is put you on one of my shows, because I got a long, strong work ethic, and those are the kind of people that I want on the bill. Professional bands who say, hey, you've left me enough for me to wet my beak and for me to, get my taste. I already know how I'm going to be treated when I get there. And, to me, if I was from this area, I think I would work exclusively with me. But, one of my biggest problems with bands around here is, and bands in general is they oversaturate themselves to the point where they're not making their shows an event. And when you're not making your shows an event, then there ain't nothing special about them. People's not going to pay $25
to come. God bless you. God bless you.
You're not going to make anybody come and see you for $25 to play with Jackal when they can see you for $4 five times in a month somewhere else, or $5 or whatever, So I get on bands about oversaturation. I turn the bands down all the time, because they're oversaturated, and because I don't want them paying to be on the bill, meaning, they give me money, and then I everyone's ticket has a name on it, their name on it, And I actually count those tickets to make sure I see who's coming through the door for who, because, yeah, sure, I want your end of the ticket money. But really what I want more than anything is your people, your tickets come through the door and everybody to have a good time so you can develop a following, you know. And if you're,
but it's also just a business, and you need
you're
to know.
Paying for your tickets, you're not doing that.
Yeah, but it's also a business. You want to keep it real, yeah. Like you say. It's also a business. Yeah. My dad always said, you can be the best band in the world. It don't matter. It only matters a butt every 18 inches that comes through that door. And I did not realize what that actually meant until I was in my 30s. You know, yeah, it matters of how many people are there. And they're, you know, and they're you know, paying for drinks. They're doing, you know, you got to make the club money. You got to make you money. You got to make the promoter money. That's just, you know, and bands don't realize that.
You were listening to John and I talk to Q-Ball, and then my computer froze, and Q-Ball had to go. So I don't even know how to segue back into the show, but that's how
well,
we do it.
we continue to talk for a little bit, but you know, as Q-Ball said, he's a busy guy. He's got things, you know. So we talked for a few seconds. I tried to record it. It wouldn't record for me. But what we established is it is a business, and the reason he counts those tickets is to know – exactly what's coming in for the business part of things. You know, yeah, he wants a quality band, but he also wants, you know, to make sure that the quality band that he's getting is also producing as much as they say they are, you know. So that was sort of, you know, where we left off, and then we started talking about other stuff and waiting for Bill, and unfortunately Bill couldn't get back on.
Yeah. Well, Bill's working with like a 5-year-old laptop right now. This has been a Pennsylvania Rock Show. You may hear what we were just talking about. You may not. I have a lot of stuff to edit. My name is Bill. With me tonight was Q-Ball from X Factor One, Nightwolf Concert Promotions, and John Lane, my sometimes co-host. By co-host, I mean he hosts the show while I listen, which is sometimes cool. Was with me as well. This has been episode number 399. Join us next week for episode number 400.